He gives us the fruits of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control that Galatians 5:22 tells us about comes because we let God work in our lives. Anybody here, have you ever had a moment where you noticed that God has changed you previously? Anybody? I'll share mine first and then I'll ask somebody else to share theirs kind of quickly. This was one of the ones that I noticed. I had an 86 Toyota pickup truck. I love this truck. It got flipped upside down in a ditch because somebody hit me. Thank the Lord I was all right down the road. But before that happened, nice truck. Had a huge lift kit, 33-inch tires. I used to take it in the woods. Super quick story. My mom, Donna and I were dating at the time. And my mom sent me to go pick her up for Thanksgiving dinner. So I was leaving Thanksgiving morning to go pick up Donna. I took a shortcut to get to her house through the woods. Oh, it was fun. I almost got my truck stuck. I was buried in mud almost coming in the door. You ever be in a truck and you're so deep in the water that you're looking outside, somehow it's not coming in? Anybody? You haven't lived unless you've done that. And I'm going through on the way to her house, through the woods. I come back. They're all mad at me because we're late. But, my truck was nasty, dirty, but it was so much fun. I pick up Donna, come back, it's just filthy. It was a great time. Anyway, I had to change the leaf springs on that truck. They went bad, and I needed to get new bushings and everything. And I remember working on that truck with a Sawzall. Anybody use a Sawzall? I had to borrow one. Leaf spring bolts are tough, aren't they? They are tough. If you've ever had to cut through one, several Sawzall blades. And I think I didn't realize there was a difference between cheap blades and good blades. So I probably bought the cheap blades, which just ripped the teeth off right away. And then you use a million of them. But anyway, you finally got through, changed the leaf springs in the truck, hours and hours and hours and hours. I got all done. And then it dawned on me that I didn't say one curse word the whole time. Anybody who ever used to get mad, you bust your hand, you bleepity, you know, you get mad, right? I also didn't even punch my truck. You ever punch your vehicle when you're working? Come on, let's just be real, huh? So I would be the guy who would get aggravated, who would have no patience, who would say something that I would wish I wouldn't say and have to go back to the Lord and ask for forgiveness. And I would get mad and punch my truck and then later on feel stupid because I have a dent in the door until the day I sell it. Because when you're poor, you know you're not fixing the dent. I mean, let's just get real. You have to live with that thing forever. Yeah, you're pointing at Brian. What's up? So anyway, I remember getting that done and it dawned on me that Jesus has been changing me because I knew I had patience where I didn't have patience before. And listen, I also knew I couldn't take credit for it because Jesus was changing my heart. You know, it wasn't me being really, really good. It was Jesus transforming me because I was spending time with Him and in His Word. I wasn't so much trying really, really, really hard to not punch my truck. I was just allowing God to give me more patience. And it was good. I let God do it and He did it. Anybody else? A quick story of God changing you when you woke up and said, wow, I'm different. Something that won't embarrass you too much. I don't mind embarrassing myself. Anybody? You know, everybody's, yeah. But who was changed? You just don't want to say it. Can I see your hand? All right. Everybody's like, I'm not telling you. Okay. Because the Lord changed you. You allow Him to. And next thing you know, you look back and say, wow, all glory to God, right? We allow Him to change us by getting into the Word, and then we'll get to know God's will for ourselves. The second part, verse 3. Hey, Bob, is there something weird with the computer? All right. Romans 12:3. Because of the privilege and authority God has given me, Paul says, I give each of you this warning. Don't think you are better than you really are. Be honest in your evaluation of yourselves, measuring yourselves by the faith God has given us. Interesting thing. If I thought I was better than I really was, if I thought I've done a good job mastering my anger, right? I've done a good job mastering my language, that would have been wrong, wouldn't it? Because it was Jesus changing me. I shouldn't think that all of a sudden I got this thing together. It's through the grace of God. As God changes us, make sure you don't get puffed up and prideful. God changes you. And it's Him, and we need to worship Him and give Him glory. Amen? We can't sit back and say, look how good I am. When somebody comes in from the outside who comes and they get saved, or maybe they're not even saved yet and they're just attending church and they don't have it all together, don't look down on them because you think you do have it all together. Truth is, if you do, it's only because of Jesus, right? Amen? And if you do have it all together, we need to reach out and help those who are younger in the faith and bring them along. Don't discourage them because we're prideful. We need to realize they don't know. Maybe they don't know what they're doing. Maybe they don't know it's sin. Maybe they haven't gotten to that place of surrender to Jesus yet. Let's reach out. Let's encourage them, right? And be an example. But be honest in your evaluation of yourselves. God has birthed in us new life. He's given us a new passion. He's given us a new mission. We're going to talk about four more things today. How do you become a Christian? Anybody? Three steps we've been looking at. We admit we're a sinner. Thank you. You have to own up. You can't say I'm perfect. We have to own up, man up to our sins. I admit I'm messed up. What's the third one? The B. Believe, right. Believe in what? Jesus, death and resurrection. It's important. What's C? Commit, right? Commit our lives to follow Him. Repentance. If we admit that we've sinned, we believe Jesus died and rose again. The last part is, Lord, help me to change through Your strength. Again, everything is through His strength. We can't repent on our own. Repentance is what you do. It's how you change. It's not just something you say. We can't do that on our own. We need His strength. So we pray, Lord, I repent of this, but help me to repent. Help me to never do this anymore and to live for You. And we commit our lives to Him. If we believe in Jesus, but it's not enough belief to change our lives, I would say it's not enough of a belief at all. Right? Jesus changes lives. And if we believe in Him enough to stay the same, I would question how much we've actually believed in Him. All right. Have you ever had to sit at the dinner table with important people? Anybody? You ever have to sit with people who it was an important thing, right? You ever have to sit there with your little kids? I've had to do that. Do you know what that anxiety is like? Please don't throw the knife, you know, or not knife, fork. I would take the knives away. Don't do that. Hi, sweetie, you're a girl, an angel. She says that's enough. Okay. I love you. Have you ever had to sit with dignitaries, right? Important people, presidents of things, or somebody you're trying to impress? Maybe if you were a guy, it was your girlfriend's parents. Or if you're a girl, it was your boyfriend's parents, and you don't want to go with a stained up shirt, right? You don't want to say the wrong thing. You don't want to snort like a pig when somebody makes a joke. You don't want to do any of that stuff. Watch this clip. Hey, man, wow, anybody ever have it that bad? That's pretty bad, isn't it? Wow. Look in your Bibles at Ephesians 2:6. Ephesians 2:6. Maybe you've never had, you've never been able to sit with government dignitaries. Maybe you've never had the chance to sit with powerful people, but maybe you will. Look at Ephesians 2:6. Anybody, your dinner ever went that bad? No? That's pretty bad, right? Ephesians 2:6. Do you have a page number, Sheila? You have one of our Bibles. 895 if you can't find it. One of our blue Bibles, 895. Ephesians 2:6 says this: For He raised us from the dead, along with Christ, and seated us with Him in the heavenly realms because we are united with Christ Jesus. Did you see that? This is a big concept. We're going to try and get here rather quickly. He raised us from the dead along with Christ and seated us with Him in the heavenly realms because we are united with Christ Jesus. Your first blank here is this: I am seated in the heavenly realms. I am seated in the heavenly realms. Do you see Ephesians 2:6 says we are seated with Him? Isn't that cool? Victory over evil is certain. Here's the deal. Jesus, right? He died on the cross. He rose from the sins, from sin. He died on the cross. He rose from the dead for our sins. He is the King of all kings, right? The Lord of all lords, if you will, the dignitary of all dignitaries. Who is more important than Jesus? Nobody. He died. He rose again. And because He rose again, we are with Him. The Bible says He died physically, right? We were dead physically, weren't we? Spiritually, we will be dead. Jesus died physically and spiritually. He rose from the dead. Just as Jesus died and rose, when we die, we will rise, right? He will be seated in the heavenly realms. And the Bible says we already are with Him. Here's the deal. At the big banquet table of all the important people in heaven, we have a spot there. Isn't that cool? And it's not going to go bad. You're not going to set the place on fire in heaven. It's going to go well. Your name tag, when you receive Jesus, it's already set on your table at the marriage supper of the Lamb. How cool is that? Think about that. You ever go to an important event and your name tag was there and told you where to sit? Right? Right? You ever go and they forgot to give you a name tag? And all of a sudden you don't have a place to sit, right? When you go to heaven, you will have a name tag there. That is cool. And guess what? Out of all the important people, you're important in heaven. Because you're a child of the King. You sit with the dignitaries in the heavenly realms. That is cool. So think about that. As we go through life here, people treat you bad. People don't remember you. You're not important to them. I want you to remember, wait a second. I'm important to God, right? The Bible says I'm seated in the heavenly realms. That I'm with Christ because of His grace. I get to sit with the dignitaries. And guess what? You'll like your seat. You ever get stuck with your... I hate the name tag thing because I get stuck with people. Anybody? It's usually people you don't know, and maybe you don't want to know them, just because, I don't know. Not that you're unfriendly, but it's just uncomfortable, right? It won't be that way in heaven. It's going to be awesome. Thank the Lord. We're seated with Him in the heavenly realms. I like the way that that verse doesn't say we will be. It says we are. That our place is reserved. That is cool. That is cool. So like I said, when you're going through a time when you think nobody cares, you're not important, oh, you're important. You're important to God, right? Don't get pride about it, but you're important to the Lord. If you don't have a whole lot, if you don't own a big home, if you don't have the fanciest car and people don't think you dress with the best clothes, that's okay. Because I'm seated with Him in the heavenly realms with our Lord. Amen? What an awesome thought to wrap ourselves around. Let's try and think about this. And I'm going to ask you, as we have been doing, to kind of get this in our heart and repeat this after me. In Christ, I am seated in the heavenly realms. In Christ, I am seated in the heavenly realms. One more time. In Christ, I am seated in the heavenly realms. You have to understand that our life on earth here isn't forever. It's not forever. Before you know it, the Bible says life is a vapor. At some point, Jesus is coming back, or we're going to die and go be with Him, aren't we? The older I get, the faster it goes. Anybody? Yeah. But this is good news, that this isn't what life's about. Don't get caught here. Life is there. That's where it's going to get good. This isn't heaven, and for that, I'm glad. That's heaven. but it will be here before you know it. Moving on to the second one. Back in the ancient world, if you received a scroll from somebody, from a king or somebody, there was a certain way that they would be able to make it so you know it hasn't been opened and tampered with before you got that. Do you hear me? If you received a scroll rolled up, there was a way that a king could send it to you and you would know that the king gave it to you and somebody else didn't tamper with it or it was fake or something. Can anybody tell me what that was? Yeah, wax, right? And a seal, right? Really? Oh, cool. That's neat. We've kind of lost that anymore. In fact, in the internet, you do your taxes. I don't know how they even know if you do your taxes online that it's really you. They'll ask you to type in four numbers that they won't ever ask you to type in again. So I don't know how it verifies that it's really me. But yeah, we've kind of lost that, right? A king would have a certain ring that would have a certain inscription on it, and they would pour wax over the seal, and they would put the ring in the hot wax, and it would mold and stick to the paper. And the only way you could get into that letter was to break the seal. And when you did that, you couldn't reseal it, could you? Because if you tried to heat it up, the wax would just run. Open your Bibles to Galatians 4, 5 through 7. Galatians 4, 5 to 7. Do you have a page number, anybody? What's that? 892, if you have one of our Bibles. Galatians 4, 5 through 7. As I said, I know we give the page numbers if you have one of ours, but I encourage everybody to bring your own Bible as well. I think your Bible is your friend, and I think it's good to get it and underline verses if it speaks to you. Get them in your heart, and I think that's how God changes us. If your translation is a little bit different, don't worry about it. It's fine. Just let God speak to you through the Word. Galatians 4, 5 through 7. It says this, God set him to buy freedom. Who was the him? Jesus. God set him to buy freedom for us who were slaves to the law so that he could adopt us as his very own children. And because we are his children, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, prompting us to call out, Abba, Father. Now you are no longer a slave, but God's own child. And since you are his child, God has made you his heir. Verse 6, because we're his children, what did it say God sent? Who did God send? The Spirit, the Holy Spirit, right? Do you see that? That because of Jesus, because we received him, the Holy Spirit has come within us. Look at Romans 8:15. Flip over there as well. Romans 8 will be to the left, a few books. So you want to go to the left, make a left of Galatians a little bit. Romans chapter 8:15. You ever do sword drills? You ever do that? First person to get the verse, stand up and read it? No? Maybe we'll do that sometime. Romans 8:15. Who has the page number in one of our Bibles? 862? Great. 862. I want to give you a second to get there. I think it's important for you to see the verse as well and not just hear it. Romans 8:15 through 17. The Lord is speaking to us and calling somebody on the phone. Is you? Okay. We'll take a large pizza, extra cheese. Romans 8:15. It says this, so you have not received a spirit that makes you fearful slaves. Instead, you received God's Spirit when He adopted you as His own children. Now we call Him Abba Father. For His Spirit joins with our spirit to affirm that we are God's children. And since we are His children, we are His heirs. In fact, together with Christ, we are heirs of God's glory. But if we share His glory, we must also share His suffering. What an awesome passage. God has not given you a spirit to make you a fearful slave. Listen, you should not walk around in fear in your whole life. Do you hear me today? The Lord does not give you a spirit of fear. He fills you with His Holy Spirit to give you a spirit of courage, of bravery, to live for Him. This Christian life is not something that cowards live. It is not. It's something that God gives us His Spirit to stand up for Him in faith, in courage, with passion and zeal to change our world. Many people on the outside would say if you're a Christian, it's because you're a coward or because you're weak or because you need a crutch to get through life. That's not true. Jesus was the bravest, strongest, manly man I've ever known. He was a carpenter. You ever know a carpenter who's a pansy? No, Jesus was a tough dude, okay? What was his dad? His dad was a carpenter. Jesus was a blue-collar guy with strong, calloused hands because he worked for a living, strong muscles because he did carpentry stuff. They didn't have Black and Decker. They had the big old saw you move, right? I think Rocky IV, when Rocky went to beat the Russian, he went over in Russian Siberia training cutting big logs with a big old handsaw. You ever see it? Good movie. Good movie. And Rocky got huge. Listen, Jesus was a guy with muscles, calloused hands, worked hard. He had no problem telling people the truth. He was a man of faith, but he was a man of courage and bravery. What did he do? He would challenge the religious leaders of the day, didn't he? Remember when he cleaned out the temple? Remember that? He knocked over the tables. The Bible says he made a whip and started chasing people out. Notice the text does not say anybody stood up to him and said, "What do you think you're doing?" Jesus, in control, all authority, he just took care of business and he didn't care what they thought. Nobody dare questioned his authority. He was a man. I follow Jesus. I follow the man full of courage, right? I follow that guy. When we receive Christ, listen, He changes us and He gives us more courage. In fact, I would say that those who are wishy-washy Christians or those who are too afraid to stand for Christ, I would doubt your courage, to be honest with you. I think a real man of God would stand for the Lord and not care what somebody else thought. Anybody else? Right? Because we know God has changed us. We don't need to back down to the world. We don't need to back down to anybody. The Bible says God doesn't give us a spirit of fear. He gives us His Holy Spirit, which breathes within us passion and courage. To tell your friend that they need to repent and follow Jesus, is that a difficult thing? You better believe it. That's a scary thing. Thank God the Holy Spirit gives us strength to do the things we need to do. Because you can't do it on your own. Right? Amen? He changes us. He gives us courage. Anybody ever sense that courage from the Lord? Right? The world thinks they get courage sometimes from drinking too much beer, right? Beer muscles. Listen, we don't get beer muscles. We get the Holy Spirit, which gives us boldness to proclaim the gospel according to what, no matter what the world is saying. God gives us the Holy Spirit. For some of you, you need to memorize this verse. He doesn't give us this spirit of fear. We're not fearful slaves. Instead, you receive God's Spirit. It changes everything. It changes everything. The Spirit of God changes everything. If you're going through a time where you're going through a lot of fear, I want to encourage you, seek the Spirit of God. Amen? Seek the Spirit of God and He will give you courage. He will give you strength. Get into the Word. Faith comes, the Bible says, by reading and hearing the Word of God. Get into it. Spend time with God and He changes you. Don't be a coward for Christ. Be a firm believer for Jesus. Let's imitate Him. When did we receive God's Spirit? It says, when He adopted you as His own children. When did He adopt us? Right, when we accepted Him, when we received Christ, remember? The other week we are adopted by God. When we received His forgiveness, we became children of God, right? Remember, the adopted child was the better one. It was the one who God chose, not the one God was stuck with. God chose us to be His believers. And what do we call God? Abba Father. What does Abba Father mean? It really means Dad. It really means Dad. Maybe Daddy is more accurate. Do you get the intimacy with God? Do you see that? God has given us His Spirit. He's taken away fear from us. He's filled us with His Spirit. He's adopted us, and now we get to call Him Daddy. He's our Heavenly Father that's not this grunt or gruff man sitting on the throne who don't even look at Him in the eye because He'll smack you. That's not God. We get to call Him Dad. We have a relationship with Him. How awesome is that? And guess what? We have proof that we have that relationship with Him. For His Spirit joins with our spirit to affirm that we are God's children. This is where your blank is coming in. I have received the Holy Spirit. It says, for His Spirit, the Holy Spirit, joins with our spirit and proves to us, shows us that we are God's children. Listen, we've been sealed by God because of the Holy Spirit. It is like the seal that says this is from the King. Remember on the scroll? The Holy Spirit proves within us that we've received Christ. The Holy Spirit. How many Holy Spirits are there? One. Well, the God we worship is what? Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Think about that. That's one third of the Godhead takes residency within us and lives within us. That is cool. That is cool. So Jesus said, you will never be alone, right? I will never leave you because the Holy Spirit is within us. Wherever we go, God is with us. This is crazy. This is cool. When the disciples walked with Jesus, right? Jesus was with him, but when Jesus went to Wawa to grab a coffee, Jesus wasn't with them anymore. They were by themselves. Jesus said, it's better that I go, that the Holy Spirit can come in and live within you. Jesus ascended to the Father. He sent the Holy Spirit. So now, if I'm with, say I'm with Lou, and I go get a coffee at Wawa, and Jesus is with me, the Holy Spirit's with me at Wawa, the Holy Spirit's with Lou while he's pumping gas. Right? And the Holy Spirit's with Ivan while he's at work. Do you see that? The Holy Spirit is within us. Part of God is within us. How does this work out? He gives you strength to go to do whatever you need to do. Isn't that cool? He gives you courage. When you would be scared to death, He gives you strength. Maybe you need to talk to Him sometimes. Maybe when you're going through a moment, something happens and all of a sudden, you begin to doubt. You begin to have fear come in your heart. And we need to stop and say, God, I know that you haven't given me a spirit of fear. I know that you've given me your Holy Spirit that gives me courage and passion. Help me, Lord, to get through this. And I think if you do that, the Holy Spirit begins to come alive within you. When we begin to honor Him, you just sense His presence. Anybody else feel that in your life? Anybody? Do you know what I mean? Do you know what I'm talking about? That you go through a place where it's dark and scary and all of a sudden we stop and we start to honor God and we say, Lord, I'm not thinking correctly. I'm not thinking correctly. I'm dwelling on this negative over here. Help me, Holy Spirit. Give me courage. Help me. And you just feel within you the Holy Spirit come alive and begin to give you courage. The Holy Spirit is within you. Whatever you go through, don't forget that you have the Holy Spirit within you. If you receive Jesus, something drastically has changed, and now God isn't just on the outside, God is within. That's crazy. The world is looking for God. We have Him within us. And He can also give you knowledge and stuff. We'll talk more next week about the baptism in the Holy Spirit and gifts of the Spirit and stuff. But the Holy Spirit, listen, comes within every one of us. If we receive Jesus, we ask Him to forgive us. When we become adopted by Him, He seals us with the Holy Spirit to affirm to us that the Holy Spirit is within us, that He's changed us. Listen, before we move on, one more quick thing I want to touch. Thank you, kids, for hanging with me and being awesome. I know it's long, honey. It's okay. It's all right. She is. You're doing really good. Listen. I want to say this in all sincerity. For some of you, you may say, Pastor, that sounds good. And I've heard that. And I've asked Jesus to come into my heart, but I haven't felt this Holy Spirit thing. That it sounds like religion, it sounds like theology, and I just haven't felt it. I haven't experienced that. Maybe ever. Maybe it's been a long time. As your pastor, listen, I love you. You know that. Seriously. My goal is not to build a big building. My goal is to build a big people. That's what the church is. It's people. And not just big because we're eating donuts. I mean, big as in spiritually mature, you understand. Right? To grow in Him. Listen, we need to do that. If you say, I haven't sensed the Holy Spirit in some time or ever, this is what I want to tell you. Be careful. You could actually grieve the Holy Spirit by whether or not you obey Him. The Holy Spirit lives within us when we receive Him as Savior. If we continue to walk, you see what happens is He comes within you and He begins to speak to you about your life. And He begins to tell you places you need to repent. Did you hear me today? He begins to tell you things that need to change. Anybody ever experienced that? All of a sudden you realize that your buddy, your best buddy, maybe shouldn't be your best buddy anymore. Because he's taking you places that you ought not need to go. Maybe your boyfriend or girlfriend isn't the one that should be your boyfriend and girlfriend anymore. And the Lord begins speaking to you. If you're married, that's not the case. So don't even think that. If you're not married, we'll pray. If you're married, you're there, man. Ring binds you, you're in. That's not God. Work it out. Listen. It's true. You don't get to think, I got saved, I don't like my... Alright, but listen, here's the deal, seriously. If you haven't heard from the Holy Spirit in a while, be careful. It might be because you've been ignoring Him. It might be because you've been ignoring Him. If God says, for example, if I was, say if I received Jesus and I did a job that didn't glorify Him, like I was a bouncer at a strip club. Just say it happens. They need Jesus too. But say if that was my job, and God gloriously changes me and saves me, it's going to be difficult for me to go to work being in that environment. And maybe you don't think about it, and maybe you could go to work for a little while, but the Holy Spirit will begin speaking. This isn't the right place for you. You're a child of the King. You should not be dealing in the devil's business. You should not be profiting from the devil's business. And if I were to ignore that Spirit, or the Holy Spirit within me, if I ignore His voice, begin to drown Him out, I won't hear Him anymore in any area of my life. Because what happens is this, I think God wants to teach us and train us, and a lot of times He will tell us something, and if we ignore Him, and we try to get into His Word, it won't matter where we read, He'll still say, quit your job, get a new job. I mean, it could be Genesis 1, it could be Psalms, and the Lord and the Holy Spirit within you will say, you need to do this. And I begin to ignore God, and I get really good at ignoring Him. And then you say, what happened to the Holy Spirit? Listen, if that's you, if you need to repent of something, repent. If God has been convicting you of something, you need to do it. If God has been telling you to seek reconciliation with somebody, you need to do it. If God has been telling you to ask somebody else for forgiveness, you need to do it. The Holy Spirit is within you, and it's working in your life, and if you get really good at ignoring Him, you won't hear Him anymore. Were you ever a kid and you got really good at ignoring your mom? Right? Anybody you think your kids are really good at ignoring you? Selective hearing? We can have that with the Holy Spirit. But listen, God doesn't like to play games with us. And we won't be blessed. And the truth is, when we start ignoring Him, the biblical pattern is that of Pharaoh in the Old Testament with Moses, where your heart becomes hard to God. And eventually, it can get so hard to God that you're no longer seated in heavenly realms. It can get so hard to God, you got so good at ignoring and defying God, basically shaking your fist at God. Because I refuse to repent. I refuse to listen to you. And you can walk away from the Lord. Be careful. If you haven't heard from the Holy Spirit, seek Him. Listen, obey Him. Honor Him. And when you do that, you will find that His voice will be more clear in your life than ever. Anybody experience that? That you can hear from God more than you used to, right? Because when we obey, we start to learn to hear from Him. Listen, you have the Holy Spirit within you. I want to encourage you. Don't drown Him out. Seek Him. This next one's really good. 1 Peter 2. Well, no, let's get this in our heart. Ready? In Christ, I have received the Holy Spirit. In Christ, I have received the Holy Spirit. In Christ, I have received the Holy Spirit. Thank you. Let's just pause and thank the Lord for that. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, that we don't go through this life alone, Lord, that You speak to us, that You change us, You renew us, You give us life and vitality and wisdom and understanding, Lord. Thank You for the presence of the Holy Spirit that gives us strength and courage to live for You and tells us what to do. In Jesus' name, amen. 1 Peter 2:24. You can turn there. We're going to look at Isaiah 53, 4 and 5 as well. 1 Peter 2:24. Anybody have, you have a page number, Tammy? 935. If you have one of our Bibles, 935. Praise You, Lord. This is talking about Jesus, 1 Peter 2:24. It says, He personally carried our sins in His body on the cross so that we can be dead to sin and live for what is right. By His wounds, you are what? Healed. Turn to Isaiah 53, 4 and 5. The Isaiah 53 passage is just awesome. If you haven't read this chapter, you need to read this chapter. Isaiah 53. This is the suffering servant passage. It actually begins at 13, the prior chapter. But we're going to look at just verse 4 and 5 here. Isaiah 53, 4 and 5. Page number, Michela, you have that? 559. It says, yet it was, let's read this together. Yet it was our weaknesses He carried. It was our sorrows that weighed Him down. And we thought His troubles were a punishment from God, a punishment for His own sin. But He was pierced for our rebellion, crushed for our sins. He was beaten so we could be whole. He was whipped so we could be healed. King James says, by His stripes we are healed. Do you know who that's talking about? Jesus. Listen, as a church, we believe in divine healing. Did you hear me today? We believe in divine healing. God heals, doesn't He? God heals. Does God heal according to how much you give in the offering? No. That would be a great thing to preach. That's why they preach that on TV, to get you to give more. That's a great thing to preach. It's just not true. That's the problem with it. It's not based upon your ability to give a lot of money. That's not what it's based upon. What's it based upon? Christ. Right? By His stripes you are healed. I was thinking this morning. As I was shaving, I was thinking of the times within my own family's life. So many times that we prayed for healing. Times when my mom was sick, and there would be fear that it was cancer, and we would pray and pray. And the doctors would do the test, and the result was no cancer. And then it's easy to live life just like it always was. Then later on, my dad had problems, and we prayed, Lord, don't let it be cancer. And we prayed, and the doctor said, it's not cancer. Thank the Lord. And then you find yourself slowly over time living life like normal, and you kind of forget all about it. And then another time, something happens, and Lord, don't let it be cancer. Don't let it be this and that. And you pray, and God works, and we can forget about it, and we can move on. Today, I want to encourage you, don't allow yourself to forget about it and move on. I shared this the other day. My wife and I were home, and Amber runs through the house like a maniac, and she slips and she falls, and she lands on her elbow. And Donna and I heard a pop like I've never heard in my life. I was sitting at the table, and instantly fear gripped my heart. You know, like, that's my baby. I'll live and die for my kid. I'm telling you, I love my little princess. And I heard that, and something was wrong. And Amber begins immediately screaming. Amber is tough as nails. She plays soccer. All the kids fall down like pins. She gets right back up and she's running. She is tough. And for her to scream, something was wrong. And she just lets out a gut-wrenching scream and grabs her arm and begins screaming. We immediately got around her and began praying, Lord Jesus, touch her and heal her. And in the back of my mind, I'm thinking, we're going to the hospital. And I said, Lord Jesus, heal her. Touch her, Lord. Please. Within about 30 seconds, she stops crying and goes like this. It's good, Dad. And she runs and plays. Praise the Lord. God heals today. Was it broken? I don't know. Could it have been broken? Absolutely. I heard a crack on concrete. It wasn't good. But all I know is Jesus protected my little girl. And if she was hurt, she's healed now. And we were fine. What I'm saying is let's begin giving God the glory. Amen? God heals today. Hallelujah, right? Listen, don't allow yourself to chalk it up to science or say, maybe God didn't need to do it because it was fine after all. You don't know. Either He heals or He kept you from getting it in the first place. He could have healed her then, or He could have held her to keep her from falling, or whatever it was. My little girl's okay, and I thank the Lord. Amen. Here's the other part of that. What happens, though? Let's just get real. We've prayed, and we've seen as a church, when we prayed for people and God healed them, and we know that. We don't doubt that. Cancer has been healed through Christ in our church many times. Multiple times. God's delivered, God's healed. I told you the story before of the young girl who the doctors said she's dying, she's going to be dead, told her parents to say goodbye. And I went and I just prayed for her, no special words. Just prayed and walked out, left. Next thing you know, we got a phone call a couple hours later that after I prayed, the doctor said she looked better, but she would never wake up, that she would be a vegetable forever. And they were going to move her from intensive care from the emergency room to a regular room. And the mother and them were going away, just trusting the Lord. And as they walked up to the room, like they put the girl in there and they walked up, they heard her talking in the hallway. Doctor says she would never talk. She'd be a vegetable if she did survive. She didn't have oxygen. She was missing oxygen too long, and they heard her talking. And that girl, her dad painted our ceiling. We know the people. We could find them and have you talk to them. Doctor said she would be dead, and God healed her. Miraculously. Wasn't me, it was Him. By His stripes we are healed. Listen, Let's get real, though. Does God always heal? He doesn't always heal, does He? Do I wish He did? Yeah, absolutely. He doesn't always heal. Does that mean I doubt His ability to heal? Not at all, but He is God. He is in control, isn't He? God always heals, but it's not always here. Did you get that? He always heals, but it's not always here. What's God's goal for us? We already looked at the first one. We are seated in the heavenly realms, right? Heaven is our destination, right? Heaven is really our home. Somehow, God has to get us to heaven. Don't let a pastor tell you that it's because you don't have enough faith. We need to have faith. But just because you're not healed, it does not necessarily mean you don't have faith. Don't let them tell you that it's because you have sin. Could it be because you have sin? It could. It could be because you're grieving the Holy Spirit. It could also be that God just doesn't, He's just not doing that right now. Sometimes He chooses to work through doctors. Sometimes He does it instantly. Sometimes He chooses us to heal us when He takes us home. I say all that to say, through Christ, in Christ, we are healed. I am healed. We have healing. We trust Him. When you're sick, listen, I'm going to pray for you hard for healing. But I also want to say, at some point, our church dinner is going to be in heaven. Amen? And if the Lord doesn't return, at some point He's taking me home. Crazy to think about at my age. I'm too young to think about that stuff. But at some point, He's going to take me home. If He doesn't come down for me, I go up to Him. Right? Listen, we're going to pray. God heals. But don't let people, I don't know, twist the Scriptures. God heals. But God is God, isn't He? But I thank the Lord that He heals. I thank the Lord that He heals. I want to encourage you to trust Him. And as I said, when you pray, God, don't let them die, and God heals people and they get out of the hospital, out of intensive care, and they're fine, don't forget to exalt Jesus. Amen? Anybody, you visited people and you prayed for them and they're fine now? Anybody? Yeah. Don't forget to exalt the Lord. We trust Him because He is God. We exalt Him entirely. There is healing through the cross. Amen? Let's do this one. In Christ, I am healed. In Christ, I am healed. In Christ, I am healed. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that there is healing through the cross. Amen? There is. There is. That Romans 5 passage, or Romans 8 passage we just looked at a few minutes ago said, together we are heirs of God's glory. But if we are to share in His glory, we must also share in His suffering. We talked on Thursday night a little bit about how we need to develop a theology of suffering. If you are a health and wealth prosperity preacher, you have a very difficult time with suffering. You can't handle suffering. You can't handle the fact that Paul suffered. You can't handle the fact that people in the Bible endured trying times. Truth is, we try to preach a real gospel where sometimes we have to go through things, like through the valley of the shadow of death. I wish to God I could do anything to get you out of that, but sometimes we need to walk through that. Sometimes we need to walk through the fire to see that Jesus keeps us from getting burned, right? Sometimes we need to go through the flood. I'm going to pray that God heals and keeps you from it, but if you go through it, He will be there and protect you. Amen? And He will lead you home. Last one, Ephesians 1:10 and 11. Ephesians 1, 10 and 11, and kids are going to be happy because pastor's wrapping it up. You know what that means, right? When a preacher says in conclusion, it means nothing. Ephesians 1, verse 10. It means absolutely nothing. In conclusion, doesn't mean anything. Ephesians 1, verse 10. You have a page number, Tammy? 895. Here we go. It says, and this is the plan. At the right time, He will bring everything together under the authority of Christ, everything in heaven and on earth. Furthermore, because we are united with Christ, we have received an inheritance from God, for He chose us in advance and makes everything work out according to His plan. You saw this verse. Here's the plan. At the right time, He's going to bring everything together under the authority of Christ. Who is in control? Jesus, right? Whose authority? Jesus, okay? What's going to be brought under? It says everything in heaven and on earth. Because we're united with Him, we've received an inheritance from Him. He chose us in advance. And He makes everything work out according to His plan. Here's number four. Last one for today. I am under Christ's authority. Listen, this is good. I want you to get this. Who's in control? Jesus. Do you see that? Who's in control? Jesus. Who's the authority? Jesus, right? Who? King of what? All kings, right? Lord of all lords, what? Right. Conqueror of death, hell, and the grave, right? Jesus is in control of it all. Listen, He is in charge. And this is what I want you to see today for this last one. When your life is in chaos, when your life is out of control, I want you to rest in this truth. Ready? Jesus is Lord. When your life seems like it's crazy, and you don't know what you're doing, you feel like you're on a merry-go-round. Maybe you've experienced this. I have. It's terrifying. You're 5 years old on the merry-go-round that they don't even make anymore. And you're hanging on at a bar. And these high school seniors are just spinning the thing. And you're watching all your little friends shoot off in the parking lot. Anybody? You ever do that? And you're, ah! You're hanging on. Things are chaotic like crazy. When life feels like that as an adult, I want you to know this. Jesus is still Lord, right? Nothing knocked Him off the throne. He's still in charge, right? Amen? When you get the phone call and it seems like all whatever is breaking loose, Jesus is still in control. Nothing shocks Him. I love that. Anybody? I picture Jesus with His disciples on the boat in the storm. If you know the story, the storm's crazy. That boat is getting rocked and hit. It was like Deadliest Catch. Anybody watch a show? I love that show. The storm's hitting. Man, things are terrifying. What's Jesus doing? Anybody? He's sleeping. The disciples wake Him up and say, Jesus, don't you care? We're going to drown. Hello? How can you sleep at a time like this? Jesus was sleeping because He was in control. He knew what was happening. He didn't wake up and say, whoa, what happened? What did He do? He got up, stood up, looked around and went, peace be still. And then He looks at them and says, why do you have such little faith? Whatever you do, know that Jesus is in control, right? When you feel like things are like this, pause and say, Lord, You're still in control. Life is spinning. I'm spinning around like high school seniors trying to throw me off the merry-go-round, because you know that's the point, right? Is to spin until they all shoot off. That's what you're trying to do. You hang on and say, Jesus, You're in control here, right? Amen? He is still Lord. Listen, Those high school seniors spinning you, they're also under the authority of Jesus, and Jesus will deal with them, right? The other people in your life getting at you, enemies attacking you, they're all under the authority of Jesus. Jesus will take care of them. We shared a verse a little while ago, "Vengeance is mine," says the Lord. That's why we can forgive. That's why we don't run over with our car those people who we can't stand. We don't run them over. We don't get those people who probably even maybe deserve to be gotten. Because as Christians, we leave that in the hands of God. We forgive them. We allow Jesus to take care of them. We trust God to be God. Why? Because He's in control. We're under His authority. Everybody else is under His authority. And Jesus will take care of business. Amen? He's not afraid to take care of business. Jesus is your master. Jesus is in charge. As I said, listen, you can trust Him. Did you hear that today? Listen, in wrapping up here, which really doesn't mean anything either, you can trust Him. Place your life in His hands. Does that mean this will always be easy? No. There's going to be times in your life when you will even think you can handle this better than Jesus. You will think Jesus is asleep at the wheel. When that happens, I want to encourage you to remember, wait a second. My view of God is wrong. Wait a second. I'm suffering from delusional theology. Jesus is still Lord, right? He's still in control. Place your trust in Him. He will be with you. Sometimes He puts out the fires in our lives. Sometimes He holds our hand and He walks through the fires with us. If you're going through a fire in your life at this point, I want you to know that, listen, the moment that you asked Jesus to come into your heart to forgive you, the Holy Spirit came within you, God walks with you, and you can trust Him. You came under His authority, and what that means is this. This is why this is good. Nothing can happen to you that Jesus doesn't allow. Isn't that good news? Listen, as a Christian following Him, Jesus has His umbrella of authority over you. Nothing can happen to you that He doesn't allow. No temptation can come to you that you can't endure. That the Lord will provide a way of escape, the Scripture says. You're under His authority. Now, some of you will say, well, the Lord has He thinks a lot of me because He's given me a lot to go through. Perhaps. But He will help you get through that. Amen? He will help you. Whatever it is, He will help you. You can trust Him. He knows what's happening. He's in control. He doesn't get nervous on His throne. He's not like, oh dear, what do I do? He's in control. He's in control. Don't forget that. Hallelujah. The Lord is good, isn't He? We're going to get ready and pray. And receive the offering. We'll do that all at one time if our ushers can just get ready. But I want to pray for you today. If you're here today, let's just wait on the Lord for a second before we move on. Jesus, we love You, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, God. Hallelujah. Lord, we need an upgrade in our theology, Lord. Like new software on a computer, God, we need to have less of the world's thoughts in us and more of You. Lord, I thank You that as believers we're seated in the heavenly realms, Lord, that You have given us Your Holy Spirit, that You have provided for healing, and that You're in charge and we're under Your control and authority. Help us, Lord, to live for You, we pray.